Emotions as Vital Indicators on this edition of Truth and Love. I'm Dale Johnson, and you're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to provide biblical solutions for the problems that people face. Today on the podcast, I am so grateful for a couple of gentlemen who I have loved building relationship with, Dr. Sam Stevens here in the office at ACBC. He's our Director of Training Center Certification. And then also today, a special guest, Dr. Nick Ellen, who serves as Professor of Biblical Counseling at the College of Biblical Studies in Houston. He also helps us here at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, teaching as an adjunct as well. And I look forward to their conversation on this very interesting and often maybe even controversial topic on the emotions. We all have them. We all wrestle with them. And so listen in as Dr. Stevens and Dr. Ellen discuss these vital parts of our humanity.
All right. Well, Nick, it is so great to have you on the Truth and Love podcast, brother. It's been a long time since we've been able to catch up, so I'm glad to have you with us today.
Good to see you, brother.
Yeah, and a really important topic. This is one that we get requests about all the time from our certified counselors, because I think it's something that we see in the counseling room all the time. It's something that's part of our just normal existence, our life, emotions, and how do we think about emotions? How do we help people think about emotions? And interestingly enough, I find that it can also be kind of a controversial topic a little bit, depending on perspectives and approaches.
That's so true. That is so true.
So I think a great way to kind of get the ball rolling on covering a big topic like this would be, first off, let's define our terms, right? We learned this in the PhD world, right? It's define our terms. What are we talking about? So how would you define emotions? What are emotions?
Well, I like to use, there's a Latin word called emovere, and a meaning out and movere to stir up. And so together, emotions will be the stirring up of one to a particular action. And again, that action could be negative or positive, but the Latin emovere means to stir up. So if we were to think about emotions, we would say that that is the inter-experience that stems from attitudes that stirs you to a particular action or response.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important to define this way, because I think there's almost a mystical approach to emotions, that most people think about emotions as something that happens to them, right? We talk about like waves of anxiety, something from the outside coming in. But what you're talking about is, at least from a definition standpoint, and I think you would probably say, as we understand this topic biblically, it's actually quite the opposite, right? It's something that's coming from the inside.
Absolutely. I mean, when you think about the fact that we are created in the image of God, and when you think about prior to Jesus Christ taking on the form of a man, again, being the second part of the Trinity, let us make man in our image. Well, when you study scriptures, God had emotions. And those emotions, not the physiological pain and pleasure, but just the emotions, the sad, the joy, the anger, those are things that come from the heart. And so when you look at man being made in the image of God, you can see that we, again, have the same emotions. And the fact that they are something that are coming not from just the experience, but the thought processes of the human heart. I mean, that is incredible, because that gives us a lot of responsibility as well as a lot of power with God to begin to exercise what the scripture calls self-control.
Yeah, and I think that's really important too. We always really emphasize this in biblical counseling, is when we engage the problems that people are coming to counseling with, and I know in talking to you and knowing you, Nick, this is a big part of your model in biblical counseling, is we need to be using biblical terminologies and concepts.
Absolutely.
But I find that especially in a lot of psychological parlance and a lot of the language used, you know, we have things like emotional wellness, emotional intelligence, and that can be very confusing for a lot of people, especially if there is a lack of self-control maybe in their lives, where they feel pushed and pulled and controlled by their emotions. But what you're saying is, again, especially with the Holy Spirit, right, living inside of us, we have responsibility regarding our emotions. And you brought up the idea of of thoughts. How does that interrelate? The idea of thinking well, thinking rightly, taking thoughts captive, perhaps, and emotions. How do those relate to one another?
Well, one of the beautiful things, if you study the Old Testament to the New Testament, there's nowhere where God is telling you to take your emotions captive. He's telling you to take your thoughts captive. And even when you look at a book like Corinthians or Hebrews, when it says judging the thoughts and intentions of the heart, it never says judges the emotions. And so the reality is, when I am feeling something in my soul, that is the direct result of what I am thinking in my soul. So therefore, the more I get a handle of my thoughts, my emotions will follow my thoughts. And again, the sad part is, for many people, they hear that and they go, well, are you telling me that it's wrong to feel? No. We're not talking about what you are experiencing as the emotion. We're talking about the origin of the emotion and how one can begin to understand them and address them in a God-honoring way. So, again, you're feeling sad. There's no sin in being sad. But when you move from sadness to a deep disdain and just completely out of it, well, it's not that your emotions went out of control. Your thought processes and what you were looking at, you stopped looking at the sovereignty, the sufficiency, the wisdom of God, and your thought processes of sadness. And now it's gone to a different level, and your emotions are exposing the attitudes of the soul that need to be addressed.
I'm sure you probably have already read this, but I would encourage our listeners, if they haven't read A. Craig Troxell's book, With All Your Heart, I'd highly recommend that. An excellent book that's not necessarily explicitly about emotions, but it is, because it's a book about how do we understand the heart biblically. And it's exactly what you said, Nick, that the modern idea our cognitive life, right? What we think and our feelings and emotions, those are not enemies. Those are not in conflict. They're actually one and the same. They're partners together. And I think what you said is exactly right. They flow out of that. I love that in the scriptures you hear about God. What is it that God expects of us? How do we love God, right? Well, it's by obeying Him. And obedience is, again, submitting our will to Him. It's all kind of wrapped up together. So that's extremely helpful, I think, as we engage with people that, again, they're coming in a very vulnerable place. Confusion, hurt, anger, there's a whole spectrum of different emotions. Would you say that for the biblical counselor, is it necessarily important for us to try to categorize a particular emotion, or how do we engage people in a helpful way as they're in the midst of a certain emotional situation?
I think the key is to learn to evaluate the emotions that a person is experiencing, to begin to look at the window of the belief systems, the window of the desires, the window of disappointments, the devastations, all this happening. So it becomes an avenue for us to say, this isn't a chance to try to get them to get a hold of their emotions. It's the check engine light of the soul for us. And as a good biblical diagnostic comes together for any biblical counselor, emotions are a wonderful diagnostic of the soul. Not necessarily something to challenge in the moment, but something to explore in the moment so that we can identify, do we need to apply encouraging or helping in such a manner where we're dealing with the sufferer, or is this something where we need to be confronting one in sin? Again, we're going to have to do both. And emotions helps us to determine, oh, this is the time to be like Job's friends before they started talking, you know.
that's a good example.
You know?
Right.
Or this is a time for us, through these emotions being revealed, to lovingly confront something, given the fact that these emotions are revealing an agenda, desires that may not be in line with God's will. So, wonderful tool of evaluation for a biblical diagnostic.
And this leads to the next question, and you've kind of already touched at this, but obviously we are, as we understand a biblical anthropology, right, we're made in the image of God, as you said, and therefore we are responsible, obviously, before our Creator. Are we responsible for our emotions? How will God judge emotions in situations in which maybe, again, as we evaluate with the scriptures, there's some sinfulness here. There's some sinful thinking that's leading to emotional responses that are not glorifying God. Where does all this come into play regarding God's role in all of this?
So when we think about emotions, again, stirring up the heart, And emotions don't do that on their own. The emotions are, again, a byproduct of our thoughts. So what we're going to discover is it's not the emotion that God's going to judge. It's the thoughts that created the emotion, and our reactions to that is where God is going to hold us accountable. So the reality is, it's not that the emotions are standalone in and of themselves, but if I'm feeling hatred towards you, my brother, it's because I've got a hatred attitude that needs to be renewed. If I respond to you in that hatred, yes, those emotions are there, but the emotions, again, byproduct of what I'm thinking, which led to my actions. So I'm going to have to confess and repent of the way I handled you, my thought processes, and my emotions, again, were the check engine light, kind of like the old show Danger, Will Smith.
Right.
Danger. Some people are like, what is the world he talking about? Google it. It's an old show. Lost in space.
That's right. I enjoy the classics. That's helpful. As we think about, and I like, again, we're approaching this from a very practical perspective, because even a topic like this, everything in the scriptures is practical. So what are some implications for us as biblical counselors as we have now come to understand very simply that emotions are responses of the heart, right? And very much, again, coming forth from our perspectives of our situations, our circumstances in our life. So as we seek to understand emotions this way, Nick, what are some of the implications that we can glean as biblical counselors as we engage people that are, again, struggling with various emotions?
Well, let me say the positive, because again, when I teach this, what I'm about to share, I get a lot of hate mail. I get a lot of anger.
I can't imagine
emotions
that.
From people, because they're thinking I'm taking something and I'm going away that I shouldn't go. But if my emotions are a byproduct of my thinking, byproduct of, again, my conscience bearing witness, and I experience those emotions, if that's a byproduct, then there's no such thing as damaged emotions. Emotions aren't damaged. They are doing their job. They are exposing what's happening in my soul, my desires, my disappointments, my belief systems. And so emotions aren't damaged. So therefore, my goal is to evaluate from what's happening, what's going on in the process of thinking. Now, for a lot of people, they find that offensive because they think that I'm minimizing emotions. And I'm saying, no. I'm not minimizing emotions, nor am I minimizing the damage that people bring to us by their verbal and physical harm. But the beauty is your emotions aren't damaged. They're exposing how you're processing what's happened to you. And so with that implication, we can stop trying to help people fix damaged emotions because they're not damaged, and help people rethink the process of what happened to them, how to reinterpret, how to embrace the sovereignty of God. How can we encourage them through their pain and support them, and how we can help them be renewed afresh through God's power? That's one implication. Here's another one that, again, I'm going to get stoned for this one. You can't hurt my feelings. Well, wait a minute. My feelings get hurt all the time. Yes, your feelings are hurt, but that's not the person that's doing that. That's how you are interpreting what they've said. And I'm not minimizing that your feelings are hurt, because they do get hurt, but I have to take ownership. When you quote unquote hurt my feelings, what you've done is disappointed my expectations. And because you've disappointed my expectations, I have now a response in my own heart to the disappointed expectations, which are the feelings of hurt. But here's a spoiler alert. Who set the expectations? I did. Mm. So what I tell people is, when you lower your expectations and raise your love, you will discover that your emotions, your sense of well-being, or your feeling a certain way, it starts to change, and your feelings aren't hurt as much. Why? Because you've changed your expectations, because you control that. Now, I get a lot of hate mail about that, but I'm saying, if emotions come from our thinking, how can you hurt my feelings? How can you damage my emotions?
Well, so I love this too, because, and let me ask you this, from your years of pastoral ministry, why is it that we would get pushback from people in bringing this up? Why is it that feelings and emotions are so central to the way we think as a culture and as a people? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think it's because, to hear me say that, you're assuming that I'm minimizing your pain. or you're assuming that I am discarding what someone has done to you, versus saying, no, I'm not minimizing your pain or discarding. I'm trying to help you learn how to process it, to understand your emotions are doing their job of exposing your devastation, your desires, your disappointments, what's happening in the soul, so that we can lovingly help you to work on that which you can control. Because you can't control people and circumstances. I can blame my parents. I can blame the past. I can blame people. I can even blame predicaments of life. But none of those things can determine or determine what's happening in my heart.
Yes.
How I choose to handle that, which is determined in my emotions. So I think a lot of people hear that and think I'm taking away or saying their emotions aren't valid, or that what happened to them is not real. No, it's real. Mm-hmm. I want to help you work it through in a way that you can have the peace that transcends all understanding. So I think that's a lot of reasons why.
I think that's helpful. And we've talked about this on the podcast quite often. I think in tandem with that, we live in this therapeutic culture that puts feelings and emotions first. In fact, that's what defines who we are as people, instead of the other way around. So what you're saying is not that we can't hurt people with our words, but is our responses are not dependent on what other people do or say to us. Like, that we are totally free to obey the Lord, serve Him. I think that's why, for someone like Paul, for example, can be content in all circumstances.
Yes.
Regardless of what happened, because he wasn't victim to what other people said, thought, or did to him. He was submitting his will, his heart, his emotions to the Lord and served Him. That's why we can have joy and peace when we aren't surrounded in peaceful circumstances or joyful circumstances, right? Because we have this new mind in Christ. I know you've taught on this before, the idea of renewing the mind and this whole topic of emotions. These are conjoined ideas in the Bible, right? These are together.
Absolutely. One of the things that I like to tell people is this. If you were controlled, or if your emotions were determined by other people, and I tell them, hear me out, because I know right now I'm saying something that seems foreign to you, but consider this. A person on the street that you don't know calls you stupid. Not only have you forgotten about it by the time it's come out of that person's mouth, you don't even remember that someone called you stupid on the street. But your wife, your child, someone close to you call you stupid, all of a sudden this flood of emotions come. How is it that you forgot about the person on the street, but this person says it and you hold it in your heart? If emotions were controlled on the outside by people, then everything that everyone did would always stir up something in you, and you would spend your life trying to control people and circumstances in order for you to feel better. Whereas the reason why that didn't bother you is because you don't value what that person thinks. You value what this person thinks. Therefore, your reactions on the inside, your emotions are exposing just how much you value, what you believe, what you want, and then they start to get it. So you're not telling me that, you know, it's bad that I have these emotions. You're trying to help me understand where they come from, the origin, and how to address them. I'm going, yes, yes, hear my heart on this.
Right. Right. And so we're not trying to be uncompassionate. And that's obviously our desire, is to, again, speak the truth in love. There are people that are suffering, and there are people that are again, thinking wrongly. There's sinful thinking in there that need to be addressed. But regardless, in any of those, we still approach it the same way. And that's with Christ-like compassion, but also conviction, right? And teaching in truth. As we kind of land the plane on this discussion and bringing, again, back down to the just very practical, what are some, do you have any suggestions or general tips for our counselors, our listeners, as they seek to begin to engage people who have, maybe they're very confused about their emotional state, maybe they're dealing with particular emotional issues. What are some ways that we can have, you know, equip our counselors to think rightly about this as they engage with these people?
See emotions as check engine lights to guide us, to support and to help people in their sanctification process, to either help them in their suffering or help them grow in their sanctification. Don't try to, for lack of better words, how can I put it, fix people's emotions. Help people see that their emotions are coming from something else. Listen to them, embrace them, but yet guide them to show them, hey, at the end of the day, I am so glad that you felt comfortable to share this with me. And I think that God has the answer that can help you grow and change through this. And we're going to work through this together. So then they see, okay, so you heard me. You see what I'm, quote unquote, feeling.
Sure.
But now you're going to help me take those feelings to take them back to the attitudes of the heart, the desires of the heart, and my reactions that have followed, and show me how to confess, how to repent, how to replace, how to find the peace that transcends all understanding through the practice of embracing the will of God accordingly. And now I think you will find people that will be encouraged to talk to you versus discouraged because you've just got their emotions and you're just harping on what they're feeling versus mm-hmm. guiding it back to what they're thinking, desiring, and expectations, et cetera, et cetera. I hope that helps.
Oh, Nick, as always, you bring so much clarity to, and again, just demystifying a topic that's a really big topic. This is a hot topic. Pop psychology is always concerned about emotions and stabilizing emotions and things that we talked about. But we have to understand that we don't, like you said, and just summarizing what you've said, we don't ignore these things. These things are, again, a byproduct of us being made in the image of God. It's a beautiful thing, but they're also not neutral. And they don't happen unto us. They come forth from our heart. And you've done such a great job in helping our listeners understand that and giving us some extremely helpful and practical advice. Nick, thank you so much for your ministry and work and for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be with a brother from another mother.
Thanks a lot, Nick. Appreciate that.
You're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of ACBC. You know, we have opportunity to answer questions here on the Truth and Love podcast, and nothing delights us more than to make sure that we're answering questions that are relevant to where many of our listeners are. Can I encourage you that if you have a question or would like to get a question answered on the Truth and Love podcast about some sort of counseling case or a biblical answer to a life situation that you're dealing with, or just some sort of question that you have about counseling in general, how do I deal with this issue from the scriptures? Can we make ourselves a resource to you? Would you ask that question to us? And you can send that question to info@biblicalcounseling.com.